Matthew chapter 2. The message today is Jesus the Nazarene. Matthew chapter 2. Look at verse 12. Concerning the wise men, it says, they being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I tell thee, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And he arose and took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt did I call my son. Verse 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead that sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. And being warned of God in a dream, he withdrew into the parts of Galilee, and came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through the prophets, that he should be called a Nazarene. Chapter 4, look at verse 12. Now when he heard that John was delivered up, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali toward the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did light spring up. And John chapter 1. Verse 43. On the morrow he was minded to go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip. And Jesus said unto him, follow me. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, of the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. And John 7, verse 45. The officers therefore came to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, why did you not bring him? The officers answered, never man so spake. The Pharisees therefore answered them, are you also led astray? Hath any of the rulers believed on him or of the Pharisees? But the multitude that knoweth not the law are accursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to him before, being one of them, doth our law judge a man except it first hear from him, and know what he himself doeth? They answered and said unto him, art thou also of Galilee? Search and see that out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, We thank you that your Son was pleased to dwell among men. Let us know that for so many years, while dwelling here, no one took note of him. For so many years, our Father, there was obscurity. But then thou dost tell us about thy Son, when he became of age, when he entered into the ministry for you in a public way. We are thankful, our God, for the silent years, and also for the years of revelation, when he came forth, your messenger, our God. We are thankful that our souls are thrilled by every scene in the life of thy Son, and we would learn from the scenes that we've read about from the Scriptures this day. So, help us in this way, our God. You know our sins. We confess them. You have promised to be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. And who is able, who is sufficient to present the Word of God acceptably to men? The one whom you lift up and sustain, so grant that. And Father, thou knowest the dullness of minds. Thou knowest the activity of Satan within the hearts of men. So, work upon hearts, we pray. And bring glory to the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Jesus, the Nazarene. Nobody in the Gospels was ever called a Nazarene, and nobody was ever spoken of as of Nazareth except our Savior. He's called over and over again Jesus of Nazareth. At times, just as he's called the Nazarene, at other times they translate that of Nazareth, but it may legitimately be translated Jesus the Nazarene. This is a remarkable thing. The whole incident about the dwelling place of Joseph and Mary, and then of the Lord Jesus, the Son of Mary, all of it is mysterious, except in the mind of God, because God had foreseen all of the places of residence of his Son, and the place where he was to dwell almost 30 years was Nazareth. If you read Matthew and Mark, you would come to the conclusion that Joseph and Mary had lived somewhere else, but after the destruction of the children of Bethlehem, they decided to go to Nazareth. But if you read in the Gospel of Luke, we learn that Joseph and Mary resided in Nazareth from the very first. And the angel Gabriel came to a virgin who lived in Nazareth. So this was the dwelling place of Joseph and Mary before the Lord Jesus was born. And Nazareth was the place where our Savior was conceived. He was not born there. Our Savior was born in Bethlehem of Judea. But the angel Gabriel came and spoke to Mary in a city of Nazareth. And there the story begins to unfold. So, by comparing Luke and Matthew and Mark, we discover that Joseph and Mary resided in Nazareth, that the Lord Jesus was conceived in Nazareth. All information concerning his future was given at the first in Nazareth. But then, because of the machinery of the political world, as far as man could see, it was required that Joseph go to Bethlehem of Judea. Now, I want to bring this to your attention for the simple reason that all the places of residence in the life of our Lord have to do with prophetical scriptures? The first one we're told about is Nazareth. That is fulfillment of the prophets. Which prophets? Perhaps I'll tell you something about that later. The next one was his being born in Bethlehem of Judea. That is in fulfillment of Micah chapter 5. Then it said he went and dwelt in Capernaum. It said that Isaiah chapter 9 should be fulfilled. You say, isn't that a remarkable thing? Indeed it is. It seems as if it makes no difference where a man is born, where he lives, where he dies. But the Lord Jesus said, it is not possible that a prophet die outside Jerusalem. So all the places of Jesus' residence are listed for us, and the ones that are listed as to where he dwelt, they are in fulfillment of Scripture. That is what is so remarkable. And of all things, Joseph and Mary intended, after the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus, to move away from Nazareth and to move to Bethlehem in the vicinity of Jerusalem for this simple reason. Suppose you had been living in this humble town, but an angel from heaven comes and tells you, not in this instance that Jesus is going to be born, but that your son is going to be a king and he's going to rule over the nation of Israel. You would think in your mind, well, certainly he needs to be near the place of the city of the great king. That is Jerusalem. And Bethlehem is the city of David, who was Israel's first good king. He should live in Bethlehem. Perhaps these thoughts went through the mind of Joseph when the angel came and told him, and his wife Mary would tell him all the marvelous things that were spoken about Jesus. He is the son of David. He shall sit upon the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now, what father in his right mind would ever conceive of living in an obscure city so far away from the city of the great king, the place where all royalty dwelt, and the place where education was, where religious training could be had? So evidently, Joseph intended to go back to Bethlehem after he had been warned of God to go into Egypt. But when he did come back, it worked out providentially that he returned to Nazareth, where our Savior had been conceived in the first place. And the reason was that the prophets might be fulfilled. So the first point is this, that although it seems as if everything happens by chance, in the case of our Savior, nothing happened by chance. As to the time that he's going to be born, who would know when it says the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent? Who knew when that was going to take place? Well, little by little, God unfolded when it was going to take place. And finally, in Daniel chapter 9, the time is stated precisely when the anointed prince, when Messiah the prince, is going to be born. And so the time that he's going to be born is in Scripture. The place that he's going to be born, where he's going to reside, is contained in Scripture. You say, well, everything about the life of our Lord? Yes. All the things, and there probably are numerous other things that we've never even thought about, they are contained in the Old Testament Scripture, but what God has done is do this. He has said, look at Micah 5. I want you to see the fulfillment of that Scripture. Look at Isaiah 9. I want you to see the fulfillment of that Scripture. And so just as the Lord Jesus in Luke 24 opened unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself, so what God has done is to take such Scriptures as these in Hosea chapter 11. He has taken these Scriptures and he has placed beside these Scriptures their fulfillment in the life of his Son, the Lord Jesus. Now, that is a consolation, because if you read what modern critics say about the Bible, the way they would tear it to pieces, the way they would deny it, then God, who sits in the heaven, is laughing at them, because God has placed in that book evidence, conclusive evidence for those that have hearts to believe that all of these things are foreknown. And for a book that is the product of man, it is remarkable how the Lord Jesus emerged perfectly as prophesied in the contents of that book. And so God, who sitteth in the heaven, is laughing at all of those who would tear these holy inspired scriptures to pieces, and all of us who believe in them, we are laughing as we see them in all their wisdom being fulfilled in this wise. The Savior said, "I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." And so that is my qualification. I am like a babe, and I go to God and say, in my ignorance, give wisdom. In my lack of light, give illumination, and God does that thing. So let us rejoice that we see Christ in all the scriptures, and I brought these to your attention this morning. All right. First of all, you must understand about the providence of God. Why is it that in the first place, Joseph and Mary had been living in the obscure, despised city of Nazareth? I cannot tell you that. He was a carpenter. Maybe there was a business opportunity there. Maybe it was economical to live in that city. God knows why he was there in the first place. But he was there. And what is so interesting is this, and I thrilled to think of it. The Bible speaks of Jesus as the Lord from heaven. It speaks of Jesus as the Lord of glory. And now he is spoken of as Jesus of Nazareth. Isn't that a remarkable thing? If he is identified as the heaven, well, he's the Lord of heaven. He's the man from heaven. He's the Lord of glory. I see. So when we think of him before he became man, he is the Lord from heaven. And once he comes to earth, who is he? Why, he is Jesus of Nazareth. It has always been possible to locate the Lord Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He is the eternal Word in the bosom of the Father. He is the Lord. But he's the Lord from heaven. And the Word, who was with God and was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And from then on, he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. And it is thrilling to read the way that people speak of him as to the place of his residence on earth. When demons are going to be cast out by the Savior, they say, "We know thee, who you are, Jesus, the Nazarene." And it's translated into King James, "Jesus of Nazareth." I'll tell you more about that later. Just accept this, that they knew that he was from Nazareth. "We know you, who you are, Jesus of Nazareth." And the remarkable thing is this, and it's almost overcoming. When the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead in the Gospel of Mark, the angel said, "You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth." And so an angel who had been with him for years that we are unable to number in heaven, this angel now knows that he's become flesh, dwelt on earth, and yet it says that some men deny that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, that there is the incarnation. And yet the angel said when he was raised from the dead, "You seek Jesus the Nazarene, Jesus of Nazareth." So, unclean spirits knew where Jesus dwelt when he was on earth, and holy angels knew where Jesus was when he dwelt on earth. And so he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. This was driven home to me when I was speaking to a friend from India some years back, and I wanted to know about his genealogy, and I said, "I know your first name. What is your last name?" He said, "Where I come from, we have no last name." I said, "Well, how are you identified?" He said, we are identified by the village in which we live. And so my name is, now I would be Milton of Raleigh. Now I am John of Goldsboro. But we have first and we have last names. But in the time of our Lord, it was the man's name and the place of his residence. And so he who was the Lord from heaven is now known as Jesus of Nazareth. Therefore, the first important thing to understand is that when Jesus is called the Nazarene or Jesus of Nazareth, it means that that is his residence, the place that he lived about the first 30 years of his life, and even though he moved away, and I read to you about his moving away, it said he left Nazareth and he came to Capernaum. He stayed in Nazareth as long as his father wanted him to, 30 years. How long a time to stay there. And then when he came to Capernaum, he came there in fulfillment of the scripture in Isaiah chapter 9. For this reason, he came to Nazareth, and he was known as Jesus of Nazareth. And when he's spoken of as Jesus of Nazareth, the first thing to remember is that that was the place of his residence. But this is something that is more difficult to come to a conclusion about, and I will tell you some things that will help you. Because it says, he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that the prophets might be fulfilled, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, some brother tell me anywhere the city Nazareth is mentioned in the Old Testament. It isn't mentioned in the Old Testament. Tell me any prophet that says that the Messiah is going to move to a city called Nazareth. You find that nowhere in the Old Testament. And I'm going to simplify it for you and tell you the way that I believe it may be legitimately handled. It's this way. You take the words in English, I won't go into the Hebrew, you take the words in English, N-Z-R, and you spell Nazareth, N-A-Z-A-R-E-T-H, Nazareth. He shall be called a Nazarene, N-A-Z-E-R-E-N-E, N-Z-R. Now, in the Old Testament, there are two other words that have these same three letters. The first one, it may be true, and it is Nazarite, N-A-Z-A-R, Nazarite, and also the word Nazar, N-Z-R, in the Hebrew. I shan't tell you any more than that, but both the word Nazar and Nazarite have the letters N-Z-R, and in the New Testament it says that he shall be called a Nazarene. The only conclusion that we can come to is this, that the word Nazareth comes etymologically from the word N-Z-R, which is the word that is found in Isaiah chapter 11. And this is what it says. It says, there shall come forth a stem, a shoot out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch out of his root shall bear fruit. Now the word branch out of his root shall bear fruit. The word branch is N-Z-R. A branch out of his fruit, out of his root, shall bear fruit. All right. It tells us from Isaiah 11 that Christ is the branch. He is the nature. And here, he goes and he dwells in the city of branches, Nazareth, because the only etymologist that ventured to tell you the derivation of the word Nazareth, what it might mean, it's the city of branches, and the Lord Jesus is called the branch in Isaiah chapter 11. So, even though the city of Nazareth did not exist at that time, it came into existence, and now of all things, the branch of God is now living in a city that is called the City of Branches, and God arranged for him to be there. All right. He is called the Nazarene, first of all, because it was the city of his residence, but also because it is descriptive of who he is according to the prophets, and he is the branch of the house of Jesse. It does not say that he is the son of David. That's a more glorious title. David is a king, but Jesse is an obscure, poor man in Israel. And it says, there shall spring forth a shoot out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. And therefore, before we have David, we have Jesse, the son of David, and then we have the Lord Jesus. And you must add this to the thoughts I'm giving you. He is called the root of David. He's called the offspring of David. And therefore, when he's called a Nazarene, this is Christ in his humanity. He is a branch, you see, a branch out of the stock of Jesse. He's called the root of Jesse because he is the one through whom all things came into existence. But at the same time, he is a branch that comes out of the loins of David, his father, Jesse, Obed, Boaz. You can trace it right back, the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I take it that it means that the branch lives in the city of branches. But one more thing, and this is most important. Suppose I called you a sodomite. You say, how dare you mention that word? Why? It simply means an inhabitant of Sodom. You say, yes. I'm a Goldsboroughite, yes. But why, when I called you a sodomite, you say, because it's not only the people that lived there, but it's the manner of life associated with the people that lived there. Why, of course it was. It designates the character of the people that lived in that town. Let me give you another example. Speaking of Melchizedek, the Bible not only interprets his name, but he's Melchizedek, king of Salem, and it interprets the city where he lives. He is the king of peace. And so for that reason, here is Nazareth, and it is not a city that is known for lewdness, for unmentionable sexual sins, but it is known for its poverty, for its obscurity, for its insignificance. And that is why I read to you in John chapter 1. One of the most startling revelations to Nathanael was this. We found the Messiah. Oh, who is he? Why, he is Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see, that is the reputation that Nazareth had, that the people there were no good. It was a town of unimportance, of obscurity, rejected by the Israelites. And Nathanael meant no harm, but it's just like if you mention certain towns. Suppose I mention New York. Suppose I mention Chicago. Suppose I mention San Francisco. You say, yes, each city has its own characteristics, and so did Nazareth. And for that reason, when it was announced to Nathanael that we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, his retort was, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip's answer was this, what an answer, come and see. Not only did a good thing come out of Nazareth, the best thing that ever came to earth came out of Nazareth, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what it means is this, that God wanted his son to live in this town that was despised and rejected of men, looked upon as of none importance. You say, I see. So, our Savior is spoken of in Isaiah 53. He was despised and set aside of men. Yes. It says, when we see him, there's no beauty in him, that we should desire him. That's correct. and you read through the prophets in the Old Testament, now understand this, you read through the prophets and all of those prophets that speak of Christ in his being despised and rejected, his being made of no reputation, his humility, all of those prophets that speak of that, they're all gathered together in the word Nazareth. Why? Because that is the city that had that reputation. And the Lord Jesus, who was undeserving of that reputation, yet it was like our Savior when they put on him a crown of thorns and when they put on him the gorgeous apparel. It was rightly his, but they put it on him in scorn. And so it was all wrong in one sense. And the bad things about the city of Nazareth, all of those things were associated with Christ. It was all wrong in one sense, but it was all right in another, inasmuch as he was despised of men, inasmuch as he was rejected of men, inasmuch as there was no beauty in him that we should desire him. He shall be called a Nazarene. And so if you ask me, where were you brought up? And it says in Luke 4 that he came back to Nazareth where he had been brought up. Where was I brought up? I would say, I was brought up in Raleigh, North Carolina. Why, that's a good town. That's the capital of our state, you see. But I remember this, when I used to caddy as a little boy, there was a little place outside of Raleigh called Carolee, and another one called Fuquay Springs. And we used to tease those that came. You came from Fuquay Springs. You came from Carolee. We knew what it meant for people to come from those towns. Now, some of them, it turned out, were important people, because I found out that my great-great-great-great-grandfather was Fuquay, and the town was named after him. And so my ancestors come from Fuquay. But there was a certain association with Fuquay and Carolee, and there was a certain association with Raleigh. I come from the capital city. And so God said, I'm going to have it said concerning my son, I am not like Saul of Tarsus. He said, I am of Tarsus, no mean city. Jesus would say, I am of Nazareth, a despicable, a mean city. And so God said, you're going to bear that reproach as well. You see? That is why he was called a Nazarene, because God wanted us to know all of these things and probably more than I have told you. And this is what happens. Some men are lifted up because of the city from which they come. If I came from Vienna, why, that's the city of the great musicians. If I came from Berlin, if I came from Rome, all of these cities have, oh, I'm from these cities, and because I'm from that city, it adds importance to me. But there are some who come from obscure cities, and it's supposed to denigrate their character. But what happens is this. Some cities give glory to a man that comes from them. Other cities get their glory from the man who came from them. And the only importance and the only reason that Nazareth exists and anybody cares anything about it today is because there was a man named Jesus who was conceived there and who lived there for about 30 years of his life. Nazareth, it would have been forgotten. It would have vanished from the face of the earth. But a man named Jesus was conceived there and lived there 30 years of his life. And God said, that is what I want for you. Now this, I want you to understand about the will of God as it's made known unto men. I would think that Jesus deserved better than this. That when Herod was going to kill him, that as soon as he was born, the angel would have whispered into the ear of Joseph, the husband of Mary. He'd have said, now, let me lay before you an outline of all the things that are going to happen. I want you to understand that Herod is going to seek to murder this child, and I'm expecting you to go to Egypt, and I want you to stay there 6 months, or I want you to stay there 3 years. And after that, I'm expecting you to come back, and don't try to go into Judea, or go immediately to Nazareth. What you will find is this, that even our blessed Savior and those associated with him were never told the will of God completely all at once and not exactly. But what they did was to be told just enough that they might escape from danger. He said, now you flee into Egypt. And so he did that. We read nothing about his being told where he was going to Egypt. Egypt is a big place. Where am I to go? God says, flee to Egypt. And I discover that even Paul and Silas had that same trouble. They're wanting to do the will of God and they try to go to Bithynia. No. I want to go to Mysia. No, that's not the place. And finally, after wasting all that time and trying to go here and there, God says, go into Macedonia. You know that Macedonian vision. Why does God do that way? I cannot tell you. Why does he not tell me exactly how long I'm to be in Raleigh? I'm to be in Goldsboro? I'm to be in Pennsylvania? He doesn't do that. He simply says, here is where you are to go. And this is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ himself fared. And yet the Lord Jesus never objected. So, if I say, a man of my caliber should be in Raleigh. A man of my caliber should be in Jerusalem. I should be in Rome, Berlin. God says, a man of the caliber of my son, I chose for him to be in Nazareth. Who are you? And we all humble our heads and say, yes, Lord. And so, the greatest man that ever was born spent 30 years in obscurity in the mean city of Nazareth. And it was the will of God. And then afterwards, he moved and he dwelt in Capernaum. Why? Because God had prophesied that this area, when Jesus Christ came, this area that was in darkness would be filled with light. And it was the will of the Lord Jesus to do the will of his Father. So these are some thoughts about Jesus, the Nazarene. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, marvelous are thy ways. We are thankful for what you've told us about them. When the little you tell us about them is understood, we realize that you are Lord of heaven and earth. But we understand that you do not do the things the way that they would please us, but you do them the way that they please you, and we are not able to understand why this is. But we see that you do them that way in the lives of those far greater than we are, and therefore we accept them. And so we thank you, our Father, for Jesus the Nazarene. And the most glorious thing is this, that we are designated by men of the sect of the Nazarenes. We are thankful that he who was called a Nazarene, that we are called also Nazarenes. And our Father, the Christ, we are called Christians. We thank you, our Father, for these despised names placed upon us. In fact, our God, these despised names are our glory. And we thank you that we've been counted worthy to be considered unworthy along with thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.